content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Washington Post and AAA Go Magazine. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. On today's Armchair Traveler, we begin on mountain bikes in the Utah desert, attending a college reunion like no other. Writer John Briley's story appeared in the September 20th, 2020 issue of the Washington Post. We begin with the caption to a photograph that accompanied John's article. It's a mountain biker pausing at an overlook of Soda Springs Basin along the White Rim Road. The road is built mostly atop a dense layer of sandstone, visible at the bottom of the Candlestick Formation in the background, deposited 245 million to 286 million years ago. Schaefer Canyon Road rises from the Utah desert like a coiled snake. Six switchbacks and 1,200 vertical feet of sandy, sun-baked malice poise between us and lunch, beers, and one final killer view. I'm with 12 old friends from the University of Colorado at Boulder, all in our mid-50s, and two guides in the home stretch of a four-day mid-October mountain bike and camping trip along the White Rim Road in Canyonlands National Park. We are tackling 80 miles of the 103-mile loop, which winds through the hypnotic scenery of these ancestral Puebloan lands. Schaefer Canyon, one of only three roads in or out of here, is our final hurdle. We started planning this last fall, and once COVID-19 hit, thought we might have to cancel. But our outfitter, Western Spirit Cycling Adventures, determined that these outdoor trips posed low risk. The company says it has no coronavirus cases among its customers. As a precaution, we all got tested just before the trip, and many of us again after returning home with no COVID detected. And per the company's policies, we wore masks during the shuttle rides to and from the White Rim. About half our group flew in from the coast, with the rest driving from various points in the west. For most of us, this trip ranks as a moderate challenge. The White Rim is a jeep road, with only a few sections that a mountain biker would consider technical and perhaps a half dozen lung-busting climbs. We're also tailed by one-ton cherry red Ford F-350, carrying our camping gear, clothes, food, and adult beverages, and of course wigs. More on that later. And we're taking our time. Many people ride the circuit without truck support. In 3 days, some in two, and a select few in a blink. A week before our arrival, Tour de France veteran Peter Statena set the White Rim record of 5 hours, 28 minutes, 23 seconds. Still, we're out here with no option to bail between start and finish. The three riders who were most concerned about keeping up rented e-bikes, which have small battery-powered motors to provide an assist on hills. Most remarkably, we are pulling off a group trip in the middle of a pandemic, and as we gather for outdoor beers after arriving in the bustling adventure come tourist town of Moab, the collective relief that this is actually happening is as palpable as the excitement of heading into the desert. With bags and bikes atop the truck and a shuttle van, we roll out of Moab under a cloudless sky, arriving an hour later at the top of Mineral Bottom Road, 4,900 feet above sea level on the sagebrush-dotted roof of Canyonlands Island in the Sky District, a 132,438-acre mesa hemmed by the Colorado and Green Rivers. After a quick briefing, we're on our steeds, rocketing down through the geologic stack from the golden-hued Navajo sandstone and burnt red Wingate Formation, faint green Chinle Rock, and finally one and a half miles and 900 vertical feet below our start onto the auburn ledge of the 245-million-year-old Moncopi layer. We skid to a stop within sight of the Green River and the incongruously bright hues of the cottonwood leaves and brush along its shores. The mood is hour one, and it's ebullient. Terry Sofarelli, a physician assistant from Salt Lake City, and Peter Isaacson, a tech marketing executive from San Francisco, are so fired up they ride a quarter mile back up Mineral Bottom for another taste of the downhill. We also encounter another guided group, steeling themselves for the uphill, but no surprise there. The White Rim secret has been out for decades. The road, built in the 1950s for uranium exploration, was already gaining notice among Jeep drivers when, in May 1983, Moab local Buzz Burrell pedaled the loop in under 12 hours on a steel-frame Ritchie mountain bike, and a bucket list ride was born. Behind the guide, Tina Liss, a 26-year-old shredder from Marquette, Michigan, we follow the river as it glides, silent, glassy, tantalizing, through the furnace of rock. The temperature has hit the mid-80s, and the desert is squeezing hydration from our bodies. 12 miles into our 16-mile day, we come to Hardscrabble, a two-tiered, sustained ascent featuring sandbogs in the middle and at the end. Unless you're superhuman, you aren't making this hill, Tina tells us, so walk where you need to, and we'll meet you at the top. She's hanging back to help her co-guide, a 29-year-old Brit named Adam Rosenfeld, navigate the truck through the sand traps. Turns out none of us is superhuman, although Terry and Robert Abbey, a San Francisco investment banker, fake it pretty well. We're loitering up top when we see, rising from behind a knuckle of rock, the telltale dust cloud of our truck spinning its wheels. We are discussing riding back down to help when the truck lurches into view. Minutes later, Adam and Tina assemble the roadside cafe, a long folding table with a buffet line of plates, cutlery, and food, along with a cooler of drinks, low-riding wood and canvas chairs, and a hand-washing station. As the guides make lunch, the rest of us follow a path to a commanding view of the river as it meanders beneath the hulking sculpture of the high desert. House-sized boulders balance precariously atop bony spires, surrounded by prehistoric rubble. The vibe of canyon country is distinct from anything in nature, a feeling at once humbling, boggling, meditative, and affirming. After lunch, sandwiches, salad, chips, we blast 2 miles down to our first camp, Potato Bottom, and pitch tents among the tamarisk, black brush, and cliff rose and lone cottonwood, the only lick of shade we'll have in the three camps. There's an outhouse nearby, but no running water or other modern trappings. Because of COVID precautions, most of us are in single tents, save for the two married couples among us and two women who opt to share. With a couple of hours until dinner, we follow a sand path through the Green River. It's running wide and gentle. The Green, like the Colorado, is taxed heavily upstream for irrigation. Plus, it hasn't rained here since July, and we wade into the bracing water to scrub away the trail dust. We must be having a good time, because when a silver canoe drifts in the view, its occupants, a 60-ish couple, have only one question. If we camp near here, will you keep us up all night? Fair enough. People come here for peace and quiet. Plus, we have already drawn a reprimand from the guides for firing up a small Bluetooth speaker, Grateful Dead, of course, in violation of a Park Service rule intended to preserve the soundscape of remote areas. Don't tell my deadhead friends, but I favor that rule and the whole off-gridness of this trip. We had lost cell reception on the drive-in, and I have not missed it for a second. As Western Spirit co-owner Ashley Korenblatt tells me later, fully untethering frees your brain up to think instead of lurching from crisis to crisis. We are about as far from crisis as one can get, washed in a golden sunset, and the first pulse of a front that will deliver a series of crystalline days with highs around 70. Over a dinner of ratatouille and pork tenderloin, I ask Adam about Western Spirit's typical clientele. Pretty much this, he says. People my age don't have the disposable income for a guided trip, and people much older than you all usually won't take it on. Although the company has guided kids as young as 9 and adults in their late 70s on the White Rim. The next morning, after coffee and breakfast, we pack up camp and gather for our daily map reading. Today, Adam informs us, is trending uphill, with 23 miles and 3 stout climbs, a revelation that draws an apprehensive look from Barbara Colombo, a photographer and garden designer from Boulder, Colorado, who barely trained for this trip. When you pass me, shout some encouragement, she tells me. It actually helps. We ride out as a pack at 9:30 a.m., but soon disperse, becoming a kind of mobile cocktail party, with riders advancing or falling back to catch up with old friends and pause for photo ops. The relaxed pace is among the features of a trip like this, which Western Spirit classifies as introductory/intermediate. The company also offers full-bore Sufferfest, including one in which much of the riding occurs on a single-track trail above 10,000 feet. After a couple of hours of gradual ascending, the guides stop us for lunch next to a massive plate of buckling slick rock. Come on, Adam says, as he leads us up on foot to a long fissure, 3 to 4 feet wide and 65 feet deep. Probably started in dinosaur times by freeze-thaw cycles and pried further open by the intervening millennia. A few hundred feet later, the shelf ends at a soaring overlook of the river as it curves moat-like around a citadel of 250 million-year-old rock capped by a prominent chunk of white rim. It would be the ideal place to kill a couple of hours, but we've got hills to climb. I punch over the first with a victorious howl that I'm now certain obliterated the soundscape, and into a swooping downhill beneath chestnut-hued chimneys and ramparts. The second features a double-edged move that forces everyone but Adam off their bikes, and the third is a grinding 4-mile ascent, culminating in a steep heartbreaker. Pedal too fast and you spin out, too slow and you stall, that only Terry and Adam clean. Our reward is camp, a garden of boulders, juniper, rabbit brush, and shadescale across from a mezzanine overlooking a colossal basin of canyons and plateaus, ripples and folds, castles and kingdoms. Over beers and bourbon, we read poems. Lucy Lerner, a film festival manager from Telluride, Colorado, had asked us each to bring a favorite, as sunbeams and shadows seed to the dazzle of Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and the Milky Way in a moonless sky. The next night, after a rollicking 27-mile day of trending downhill through primeval stadiums of hoodoos, arches, and knee-buckling cliffs, the wigs come out. Terry had packed them, and we ramp up our final night party in shiny manes of white, hot pink, psychedelic rainbow, and even a green Marge Simpson. I'm still smiling about it the following morning when we glide past four juvenile bighorn sheep that have pinned themselves between the road and a cliff. Before the final push up Schaefer Canyon, I ride ahead into a silence broken only by the whoosh of a raven overhead. She is flying uphill toward the belly of the serpent, making it look easy. By the way, writer John Briley lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and he has a website if you'd like to follow some of his things. It is johnbriley.com. That's johnbriley.com, johnbriley.com. And he has some travel tips with his articles that may entice you to take a look at this. Where to stay, he suggests Best Western Plus in the Canyonland Inns, that 16 South Main Street in Moab, Utah. And check it all out at CanyonlandsInns.com, CanyonlandsInns.com. A centrally located hotel in Moab with an outdoor pool and hot tubs and walking distance to restaurants and shops. Rooms start from $89 in the winter to more than $300 in the peak season per night. As far as things to do, a couple of things mentioned here. Western Spirit and Cycling Adventures, they're found at 478 Mill Creek Drive in Moab. Check them out online at westernspirit.com. That's westernspirit.com. Guided trips on the White Rim Road run March to May and September to October with a 13-person maximum per trip. So that's quite a cozy group. The company guides dozens of other road and mountain bike trips across the West for intermediate and advanced riders, and it all starts at $975 per person. For more information about Utah and other sites, including the Canyonlands, you can go to visitutah.com, visitutah.com. So hope you've enjoyed your journey there. Well, next we're going to hear about five spring break getaways for every family. Christy Tolley's article, Great Escapes, appeared in the winter 2021 issue of Triple A Go magazine. And she begins, "Let's be honest, if there's ever been a time we've most needed to get away, it's now. After months of working and schooling at home with limited opportunities to get out, we're all probably ready for a change of scenery. Also, last year's spring break plans were likely canceled due to COVID-19, making a spring break this year even more essential. Whether yours is a family of beach bums or you prefer chasing waterfalls in the woods, there's a bevy of ways to enjoy wide open spaces. Here are 5 spring break road trips to consider. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Situated where the Chesapeake Bay meets the Atlantic Ocean, Virginia Beach is a popular family-friendly destination. Spend your days along the thriving oceanfront area, a hub of hotels, restaurants, and shopping opportunities. Walk or bike along the boardwalk, which stretches some 40 city blocks. Local diversions include the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center, Atlantic Fun Park, and water sports activities at Rudy Inlet. Just south of the oceanfront district, Sandbridge is a good place, or a good bet, rather, if you crave a quieter escape. Fewer crowds and a wide beach offer plenty of space to spread out. Back Bay National Wildlife Refuge and False Cape State Park provide an ideal backdrop for kayaking and hiking. Further afield, other diversions include Colonial Williamsburg and Busch Gardens, within an hour's drive. As far as places to stay, conveniently located just off the Virginia Beach Boardwalk, Hilton Virginia Beach Oceanfront boasts perhaps the best pool view in the area. Located on the roof of this 21-story hotel, the infinity pool overlooks the Atlantic Ocean. Other family-centric amenities include a beach playground, cribs, a 5-mile bike trail, and beach activities, among others. The historic Cavalier Hotel and Beach Club, a AAA 4-diamond-rated historic gem, was the go-to resort for presidents, celebrities, and iconic authors following its opening in 1927. After facing demolition in 2012, it reopened in 2018 as a member of Marriott's autograph collection. Families will enjoy the renovated beach club, which offers semi-private beach access, a poolside bar and grill, and an infinity pool that overlooks the Atlantic Ocean. Well, next up is Beaufort, North Carolina. Part of North Carolina's southern Outer Banks, or Crystal Coast, Beaufort is the third oldest town in the state. Small-town charm, outdoor activities, and varied dining make it great spring escape. Hungry Town Bike Tours provides a fun introduction to the area. The company's guided bike tour highlights historic homes, oceanfront diversions, and a burial ground that holds legendary tales. Boat over to Cape Lookout National Seashore, a 56-mile stretch of undeveloped land complete with the distinctive Cape Lookout Lighthouse. Take a ferry to Shackelford Banks to spy the storied wild horses or enjoy a dolphin watch tour with lookout cruises, which leaves from the downtown marina. Take in the diverse wildlife found within the Rachel Carson Preserve, or Reserve, I should say, including more than 200 species of birds, Atlantic bottlenose dolphins, sea turtles, and a small herd of wild horses who make their home there. Nearby in Atlantic Beach, Fort Macon State Park welcomes more than 1 million visitors each year. On offer are guided tours of the fort, museum exhibits, and nature trails. Restored quarters provide a glimpse into the lives of the soldiers who spent time there. After your tour, head across the parking lot for a day at the beach. Places to stay in Beaufort include, located on the site of one of the town's former Menhaden fish plants, Beaufort Hotel is a far cry from the original rugged structure that served Beaufort's fishing industry for so many years. The 133-room property faces south, providing guests with perfect sunrise and sunset views. Waterfront rooms also look out over the Rachel Carson Reserve, and you can sip your morning coffee and spy wild horses across the water. Savor a meal at their on-site restaurant, 34 Degrees North Restaurant, where the menu is only rivaled by the views. For families seeking more privacy, consider renting a home. Nautical Getaway is a spacious waterfront property on the Sound. It accommodates up to 6 guests and includes amenities like a private dock, hot tub, free Wi-Fi, and a washing machine. It is also convenient to downtown Beaufort as well as Atlantic Beach. For more details about Beaufort, you can read Weekend Getaway Beaufort, North Carolina, and that's at AAA's website, AAA.com/editorsescape. That's AAA.com/editorsescape. Then we move to Oconee County, South Carolina. With more than 90,000 acres of protected forest, primitive lakes fringed by the Blue Ridge Mountains, and 29 waterfalls, Oconee County is a prime spot for families who love exploring the great outdoors. Kayak, canoe, or scuba in some parts, Lake Jocassee, or just chill out along the shoreline of this 7,500-acre lake. You can access the lake by way of Devil's Fork State Park, which offers a kayak and boat rentals, two campgrounds, and ample hiking opportunities. Sumpter National Forest is also located within Oconee, as well as four additional state parks and several county parks. Enjoy family time on the Chattooga or Chaga Rivers with exhilarating rafting trips. Other diversions of note include golfing, horseback riding, antiquing, and others. Now, places to stay. Best Western Seneca Clemson is an ideal home base for your Oconee County adventures. Your stay includes complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi, an on-site restaurant, and a pool. And there are also a slew of lodges, campgrounds, cabins, and vacation rentals to suit your family's size and style. And then we go to Golden Isles, Georgia, comprised of the city of Brunswick Sea Island, St. Simon's Island, Jekyll Island, and Little St. Simon Island. The Golden Isles is a treasure trove of family-friendly activities. A variety of outdoor activities, historic sites, and other attractions beckon visitors. A small colonial site, Fort Frederica National Monument, is home to archaeological remnants of Fort Frederica in the town of Frederica. The fort was constructed in 1736 by James Oglethorpe to protect the southern portion of Georgia from Spain. Golden Isle boasts a variety of ways to soak in nature, search for dolphins, alligators, many species of birds, and other wildlife during a guided kayak or boat tour. Don't miss the Georgia Sea Turtle Center, located on Jekyll Island. It's the first sea turtle rehabilitation, education, and research facility in the state. Take a hawk walk with Sea Island's falconry team and learn about the ancient art of falconry. Trolley tours on St. Simon's Island showcase historic landmarks and local attractions that are the center of the stories and legends of the area. Elevate your Instagram feed with some sunrise and sunset shots along Driftwood Beach, where the gnarled trees have created an otherworldly landscape. Places to stay, well, perfect for families. AAA Five Diamond rated the Cloister Beach Club boasts a private beach, water sports, three swimming pools, and many other activities. If you want to spread out, consider a suite, which includes compact open kitchens, coffee makers, soaker tubs, and separate living and dining areas. For a more casual stay, book a room at the Inn at Sea Island. The cottage-style rooms are comfortable and well-appointed. For a fee, guests can have access to Sea Island's golf courses, the spa, and restaurants. And then our final great escape stop is going to be in Sarasota, Florida. Just south of Tampa, Sarasota was once the winter home of the Ringling Brothers Circus. As you might imagine, links to the famous entertainer are found throughout the city. The John and Mabel Ringling Museum of Art houses more than 28,000 works of classical and modern art, as well as ancient artifacts from Cyprus. Admission is free on Mondays. Make time to tour the Cartesian Mansion, the winter home of John and Mabel Ringling. And situated on the waterfront, the five-story, 36,000-square-foot mansion was completed in 1926. Time on the beach is always well spent, and Sarasota has plenty of white sand from which to choose. The beach at Siesta Key received a Best Beach nod by Dr. Beach twice and earned the 2020 TripAdvisor Traveler's Choice Award's Best in the U.S. designation. Year-round lifeguard duty, beach rentals, a concession stand, and public beach access make it a great choice for families. Fewer crowds make Lido Beach a lure, too. You'll also find lifeguards, restrooms, and a snack bar. Other beach worth considering, Minnesota, Casperson, Nokomis and seek out the pink flamingos, parrots, crocodiles, and alligators at the 10-acre Sarasota Jungle Gardens. So lots of fun there. As far as places to stay, well, you've got voted as one of the top 30 resorts in Florida last year by the Condé Nast Travelers. The resort at Longboat Key Club has earned the AAA Four Diamond distinction for the past 38 years. The resort underwent a renovation in 2020, resulting in revamped rooms and suites and an upgraded pool area and enhanced culinary offerings. Almost limitless activities around here: golf, water sports, yoga, tennis, and fitness classes. Of course, chilling out by the pool or on the beach is always an option. Yep. Well, convenient to Lido Beach, the Ringling Museum of Art and other attractions, Hotel Indigo Sarasota offers a spacious and smartly appointed room with colorful wall murals and hardwood floors. It also earned AAA's Inspector's Best of Housekeeping Award. Free Wi-Fi, two small outdoor pools, a fitness center, bike rentals, and shuttle service to Lido Beach, and other perks you can expect during your stay. So, boy, that sounds like a lot of fun there, doesn't it? So, some great escapes for you in the coming year. Some things to think about as maybe you prepare to say, okay, it's time to travel once again. What do you think about that, huh? Well, you know, we were talking about the boardwalk at Virginia Beach a little earlier when we started the article, and it brought to mind a little story I'll share with you. The boardwalk is terrific, and I want you to make sure you check it out if you have a chance to go there. But I recall back in the 1980s, yeah, my family and I were able to stay at the old Cavalier Hotel before this was, of course, razed, as the story tells it. And there we not only enjoyed the boardwalk, but also that beach club they talked about and some other activities. It was all right there on the beach, a really fantastic facility. And while standing on the balcony of our fifth floor room, we saw a well-appointed tennis court attached to a very nice beach house. I mean, it was just spectacular. I went out there to watch them play tennis. There was usually somebody out there either practicing by themselves, throwing the ball back and forth against a practice wall, or out there playing a game of singles. So anyway, it was a very nice house, and it was only about a block away, easy to see from the balcony, no questions asked, and very nicely landscaped. And, of course, Virginia Beach is home to some celebrities and so forth, so I said, okay, so this is probably one of those. Well, it turned out, I did some checking out. You know whose house it was? It was Martina Navratilova, and that was her kind of getaway, get ready for the next tournament kind of place, and it gorgeous. Not sure if I ever saw her out there, but it's a possibility, I guess. Being that far away from the actual court, you couldn't really make out the faces very well, but people were using it. So just a delightful place. Of course, you got the Edgar Case thing, if you're into that sort of thing. There's a little museum and institute there, and all kinds of things at Virginia Beach to enjoy. And you can just walk from your hotel and enjoy that marvelous area. So I just point that out to you, and just see a celebrity or two. You never know who you're going to see on that boardwalk. Well, speaking of the boardwalk, we've come to the end of this episode of Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed it, and she'll be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Questions and comments may be directed to 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.